First Peter chapter 5. Well, we're taking 60-day challenge. We are wanting to live on the victory side, take every day one day at a time, and just understand that it's a gift from the Lord. And this is the day. Let's worry about today. Let's not be concentrating so much on yesterday and tomorrow. Let's just put that in the hands of God. And this is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And so one of the ways that will help us during this time, these 60 days, is, and I think one of the most important things to learn in life is found in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 7. And let's all stand for the reading of the Bible. We'll begin in verse number 1, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1. The elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, yea, all of you. Be subject one to the other, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. And then verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'll help us, dear Lord, as we endeavor at the end of this year to live our lives in such a way that I hope will set us up for a great new year in 2026, that, Lord, we would take what we learn in this little 60-day challenge, and, Lord, we'll carry it over into a new year. And Lord, we want to live on the victory side. We want to, Lord, be the kind of a Christian that would cause other people to want to be Christians and to be a help and a blessing in our home, Lord, at our workplace, in our community, in our church. And, Lord, one of the things that each and every one of us have to deal with is just a reality of life. Is called by the Bible, labeled, titled, simply cares. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to know what to do with these things and that you care for us and that you give us help and a means to deal with this, these things on a daily basis. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. What a powerful verse. By the way, so much in that one verse. And so we're going to take a look at that. Preacher, what are you talking about this morning? When the Bible talks about care, or later on we're going to see it used in the plural, cares. And you know why? Because most of us have multiple, not just singular care, but multiple cares. Almost everybody in this room could write down a list of things that honestly are some things that are a distraction to you that caused you a certain amount of anxiety or stress. Matter of fact, if you look up in the original language, the word care there, it's talking about and the idea of a distraction, or it uses the word solicitude, which is kind of a word that we don't use very often. What is solicitude, preacher? Let me give you the definition. Anything in your life that produces anxiety. Now think about that. Anything in your life that produces anxiety, anything that is mentally and emotionally distracting you from, mentally or emotionally distracting you from focusing on God's present will and wishes for your life. In other words, God has a will for my life. God has wishes for my life. There's a certain way I want to live my life. Preacher! But there's also these cares. There's also these anxieties. There's also these worries. There's also these things that are very real, preacher. They're not something I'm imagining. There's something I'm having to deal with, real life situations. And so the Bible says that we are to cast these things, cast all your care. And I think he uses the phrase there, all your care, because it does suggest multiple cares. I mean, think about it. I just want you to kind of make a quick mental list. Some things popped in your mind right away. Many wives instantly thought of your husband. And no husband thought of his, not one husband thought of his wife. Because we're such better Christians than that. But Now, I want you to just kind of come up with your list. What are the things that are right now causing you to be mentally, emotionally distracted? Preacher, I go to do something for the Lord. I go to do something that's productive. I'm trying to do my daily work, and all of a sudden, here comes this mental anxiety. Here comes this emotional distraction. There's this situation that won't go away, and I'm carrying it, and it's preventing me from being and doing what I want to do and what I want to be. What are the things that are causing you anxiety? The things you are worried enough about that it's affecting, think about this, affecting your ability to concentrate and properly fulfill your daily duties. Hey, preacher, do you have some of these things? Yes. You know why? Because I'm a member of the human race. And all of us are going to have to deal with this. Now, think about this. What are the things, let me help you a little bit more, that go so far as to sometimes rob you of a good night's sleep? Now, I think if we're going to take care of these things, we have to first identify these things. There's something wonderful about honesty. Honesty before the Lord. You don't need to come and share your list with me. I don't need to come and share my list with you. But I think sometimes there's something that helps just taking a piece of paper and putting pencil to paper and just writing down and say, Lord, these are the cares of my life. Because if we don't identify them, when we're not honest about them, then they just kind of seem to float around. Denying that they're there doesn't make them go away. And so put pen or pencil to paper, write them down, say, preacher, these four things or these five things or these three things or these 10 things, I don't know, are the things that just seem like they're keeping me from living the Christian life and living life the way that I think it would please the Lord. And so write them down. This verse teaches us that we need to learn to do something then with the things that are on the list. It's one thing to identify them. It's another thing to know what to do with them. Now, before I get into that, before we give you a solution, before we just break this simple verse down, it's not complicated, by the way. I want to first of all show you that there's a real danger of not properly dealing with cares of this world. And I want to take you back to Mark chapter 4. So save your place there. Let's go back to Mark chapter 4. Because I think once you see this word picture that Jesus paints about cares, the cares of life, it's really going to help you to want to do something about them. In Mark chapter number 4, Jesus begins to teach a parable. He begins to teach a parable to the people there. So I'm sorry, did I say John? Mark. Okay, Mark chapter 4. Make sure I got you in the right place. Mark chapter 4, and look, if you will, in verse number 2. The Bible says, and he taught them many things by parables and said unto them in his doctrine. Doctrine simply means teachings. Verse 4, hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. Some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Notice if you want verse 7, some fell among thorns, and thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30, some 60, some 100. And so Jesus gives this parable, this story, and he's talking about a man sowing, and he's talking about the ability of the seed to find proper rooting and produce fruit abundantly. And the problem isn't the seed, listen, and the problem isn't the sower. The problem is the type of soil it's falling on. Now that's the basic premise. I'm going to take one of these types of soil and help us out, because we're going to find the cares of this world or the cares of this life in one of these types of soil. But folks, we ought to be aware that the Bible says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You think about that first type of soil, and it's soil that's been trodden under. It's just like that's where everybody walks. That's the path. That's the hard ground. Well, guess what? You throw seed on it, and it doesn't get down into the soil, and it just sets on top. And pretty soon the birds come by, and they see an easy meal, and it never does produce fruit. Listen, stay tender-hearted. Stay tender-hearted. You know, everybody's gone through some really tough things and hard things. Maybe you're going through them right now. And if you're not careful, you'll allow the effect of that to be to harden your heart. And that may be the easy thing to do because it's kind of our defense system. Well, I'm just going to have such a hard heart that nobody's going to be able to penetrate it. Nobody's going to ever be able to hurt me. Well, the problem is that's the heart that you're presenting to God, and the seed of the Word of God's trying to take root, but it can't do any good because you've got this hard heart. Okay, listen, break up the fallow ground. You got to allow the Holy Spirit sometimes to come on, hook up the tractor and the plow and dig deep and get that ground back the way it needs to get. And a hard heart is never going to receive the things that God wants you to receive. Therefore, you're never going to produce the fruit that God wants you to. So be aware of that. He talks in the second one about this stony ground in verse number 5. And I won't go into much depth on that, but you know, folks, stones, if you study this out, I think are just character flaws in our life. And there's things, by the way, that are in the heart of all of our children. Okay, listen, sometimes when the baby's born, the big announcement, you know, did you have a boy? Did you have a girl? And you know what every parent could really say? We had a sinner. All right. And you know what? Train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he will not depart from it. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. By the way, we need to listen to these verses. That's your child. That's everybody's child. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. But the rod of correction will drive it far from them. Not soft parenting. Biblical parenting. But if we don't get these stones out, do you realize what's happening is the character flaws that are allowed to remain, come on, stubbornness, willfulness, rebellion. If you leave that in a child's heart, you know what? The seed of God's word will find root, but it won't endure because they'll intend to do it, but they don't have the character to follow through with it. And so that's that stone. Now, I'm going to focus mostly on the third one, because the third one said some fell among thorns, and thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. Now, thankfully, in this portion of Scripture, Jesus gives us an explanation about this, and he breaks it down. And I want you to jump down, if you will, in verse number 18, and he's going to address and interpret the parable and tell you exactly what he's talking about in verse 18. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word. Notice this, there it is, and the what? Cares of this world. Now, there's three things listed here. There are cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word and it become unfruitful. Now, this is sad. Because, folks, one of the things that can choke out the Word of God in your life and choke out the fruitfulness of what you ought to be producing for the Lord is the cares of this world. By the way, let's note the other two while we're here. But all of these are thorns. All of these, I want you to picture that. That list that I have you write out in a second here, I want you to understand that list, I want you to start picturing them as thorn bushes. Thorns. Okay, in your heart, and they're choking out the ability to produce the fruit that God wants you to produce. You're coming to church, preacher, I'm here, I'm listening. Okay, and I'm sowing, I promise you, I'm sowing. And I'm sowing the right seed. But it's got to fall in a heart that can do something with it. I didn't spend a lot of time on the fourth one, but the Bible says, thankfully, in verse number 8, another fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30 and some 60, some 100. And God wants the word, the truths of the Bible to enter into your heart and for it not to be hard, to be receptive and not to have a bunch of stones because you won't deal with character issues and not have thorns waiting to choke it out. What are the thorns, preacher? Verse number 19, the cares of this world. We'll get to that in a second. The deceitfulness of riches. Folks, listen to me. The devil can have you chasing money and chasing money and chasing money and chasing money. And if I just make this much, and if we had this much, and if we could buy this,
then we'd finally be happy. If we could live in this type of house, we'd finally be happy. And we chase it, and we chase it, and we chase it. And every time we get something, it doesn't produce what we thought it would. So we think, well, maybe I just need to get this much. And you can run like a hamster on a wheel the rest of your life, chasing something that's never going to really bring happiness into your life. I think that's why the Bible says, and this seems foreign to American Christians, he says, therefore, having food and raiment, be content. Be content. In other words, hey, is your needs being met? Then why don't you just have a heart of contentment? Why don't we, listen, this is a good week to say it. Why don't we just thank the Lord for what he has given us? And stop looking across the road and say, listen, all these people that have the nice mansions and all the toys, you know what? You're not inside their house. You're not inside their heart. I promise you, that's not making them happy. I mean, if come on, we have enough celebrities out there that we have to hear about all the time. It seems like why are all their kids messed up? Why have they gone through 4, 5, or 6 marriages? Okay, why? And they got all this stuff and all this fame, and they can jump on a plane and go anywhere in the world, and you know how they get through every day? By booze and alcohol and drugs. And they say a religion's a crutch. They're the ones using a crutch. Hey, listen, Jesus isn't a crutch. He's a friend that sticketh closer to a brother than a brother. You see, he's not somebody that props me up. He's somebody that walks beside me, amen. And so think about that. And so we got the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things. Listen, it might not be money, but the lust of other things. In other words, desires, other desires that come in where you're just never satisfied. And because of that, here's the word of God being sown in your heart, and you listen and you sit in church and you say, he's right, and we need to do that, and we need to live that. And you walk outside, and here's the cares of the world waiting. And you walk outside, and there's your schedule, but that's so full because you're trying to make one more dollar, and for what? And then there's this, all these other things that the devil dangles in front of you, you know, fame. Come on, if I can get enough friends, if I can get enough likes, then I'll finally be happy. You know, if I can become a social media influencer, then I can finally have a happy life, you know. And people are chasing everything and finding nothing. And so, you know what I want you to do? I'm going to try to help you in one of these areas, okay? But sometimes what we need to do is, come on, put our leather gloves on, because these are thorns and thistles. And we need to grab them down by the base, and we need to get a little shovel, make sure we get all the roots out. We need to just start digging some things out so that when the Word of God comes in our life, you know what? These truths that you love and you embrace, and you sit out there and you say, preacher, you're right. And but you know what? They don't make it to the car. They don't make it to Monday. You know why? Because when the alarm goes off Monday, there's the cares of the world. And they're waiting to intertwine you. They're waiting to choke out the potential of what God wants you to be. There's the deceitfulness of riches. And preacher, I need to do these things, but there's just no time because we gotta have. There's these other things that the devil's got you interested in that really has no, you know, I'm sorry, but there's no trophies, young men. Are you listening? Abel, wake up. There's no trophies in heaven given out to young men who've gotten a certain level on a certain video game. And yet it's eaten up that your desire and your lust for things that don't matter, just controlling your life. Isn't it time we just, come on, we're getting ready to start a new year. Let's put our garden gloves on. Let's get a little shovel. Let's get in. Let's get these thorns out of our life. But one of the things that's mentioned here is the cares of the world. Now we're going back to 1 Peter. Let's at least know how to take care of them, all right? God gives us one little simple verse that gives us the answer to the question here. He says this, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Preacher, I've got my list now. You told me pencil to paper. Maybe it's mental now. I've got it, but I'm going to go home. I'm going to write it out. I'm going to say, what are these cares? What are these mental and emotional distractions that's keeping me from focusing on God's present will, keeping me out of church? Come on. Keeping me out of my Bible, keeping me from my prayer time, keeping me from being involved in a ministry that's bringing people to Jesus Christ. What, these things that are mentally and emotionally distracting me and causing me anxiety, I've got them listed. What do I do with them? Oh, we're given a great formula here. The duty. I believe every Christian has a daily duty, a daily duty to make sure that you spend time casting your cares upon Him. Upon Him. Why? Here's the good news. He cares for you. Okay, who cares for you? Jesus cares for you. He cares for you. So He's like, you're worried about your cares. I think it's my job to care for you. So why don't you cast those things on me? Why don't you give those things to me? The duty of casting cares. Casting cares, folks, first of all, is a daily duty. A daily duty. I think it's something you need to do every morning of your life. You ought to keep that little list along with your prayer list. Whatever that list is the cares of those lives, write it down at the very beginning, the first thing in the morning, and say, Lord, I have this care, and I have this care, and I have this care, and I have this care. And by the way, there's not a thing I know to do about them or can do about them. They're out of my control. And guess what, Lord? I can do one or two things with them. I can let them be like thorns in my life today and choke out everything that I ought to be and everything I ought to do for you. Or I can just cast them. I can just give them to you. I'm not going to walk out this door carrying them. I'm going to do this. And by the way, the next morning, that word casting, it's in what we would call a linear verb. And it means to cast with importunity. And folks, what that means is that you have to cast them and cast them and cast them and cast them. It's not a one-time deal. What that is talking about is it's a daily duty. And can I say this? Sometimes it's not just once a day. Because I'll cast them in the morning. And all of a sudden, 10 o'clock in the afternoon, here comes that care back. I thought I cast you. And it's back. And I stop and say, Lord, you know what? I could waste the next 30 minutes or an hour or 2 hours worried about this. But Lord, I have promised I'm going to cast it. So it's come to mind again. So I'm casting it again to you. I'm just going to trust the Lord with it. Hey, listen, folks. You can trust Him with your problems. You can trust Him with your worries. You can trust Him with your anxieties. You can trust Him with your problems. You know why? He cares for you. He cares. Now get that in your heart. He cares for you. And he's like a heavenly father that's saying, son, stop being tormented by all these little things, you know. Those are my responsibilities. That's not something for you to carry. That's something that I want to carry. But I can't carry him if you won't give him. But I can't carry him if you won't give him to me. Give it to me, son. Give it to me, daughter. Let me have that. Let me worry about that. And then you know what? Our Heavenly Father takes him, and all of a sudden the burden comes off, and all of a sudden, you know, we can put a smile on our face and live our life with joy and be focused about what's really important and begin to produce fruit in our life the way He wants to produce. Why? I'm not going to let the cares of this world choke out what God needs me to accomplish today. And so, but you've got to cast him. I mean, it's your response. God's not going to come take him. You got to cast him. It's a daily duty. Casting cares must be a thorough duty. All your care. Are you carrying health cares? How about financial cares? Come on, family relationship and those cares, frustration cares, failure cares, insecurities. Come on, attacks from the outside, disappointments, betrayal, worries, human weaknesses. I mean, folks, good night. If I put the list and I decided to carry my list every single day, because I want to say this, as a pastor, you don't just carry your cares, you carry the cares of God's people and what your church members are going through. You're going through with them and you're praying with them. But folks, listen to me. If I tried to shoulder that, I wouldn't function. I wouldn't accomplish anything. My whole mind would just be in a whirlwind all the time. And the devil would be over there clapping. You know why? Because he wants to keep us so distracted and so confused and so frustrated that, you know what, we don't really do anything for the Lord. And our Heavenly Father is saying, give me them. Cast them to me. Let me carry that for you. But it must be a thorough duty. You know, if we're not careful, folks, we can kind of be selective in what we're willing to cast. Well, I need to turn this over to God, and I need to turn this over to God, and I need to turn this over to God, and you're going down your list, and you get to about number four, and you're like, now, that one I need to take care of myself. And God's like, why don't you trust me with it? I mean, let me just ask you, who's got a better chance of fixing the situation? Okay, I don't think I've got a better chance than God has, but sometimes we just won't let go of certain things. So it has to be a daily duty, and it must be a thorough duty. Listen, folks, you can trust God with your small problems, and you can trust God with your large problems, and you can trust God with that one big, gigantic care that just consumes you. Listen, you can trust him. So casting our cares should be done daily, and it must be done thoroughly. Casting our cares is an upward duty. You see what the Bible says there? Casting all your cares upon him. Who? It's an upward duty. Cast them onto him. Now, folks, let me just help you with this. Because cares will either drive you to God or cares are going to drive you to your grave. Did you hear what I said? Cares will either drive you to God or they're going to drive you to your grave. And you know, it's crazy because we know at some point we're overwhelmed, we need help with them. And instead of us casting our cares and understanding this is an upward duty, what do we tend to do? We tend to take our cares and make it a horizontal duty. In other words, I just need to talk to this person about it. And then I'll talk to this person about it. And I'll talk to this person about it. Now let me just kind of teach you a little bit about human nature, okay? All right, first of all, the person that you're trying to get to carry some of your cares already are carrying a bunch of their cares. Now, I want you to try this just randomly, not this evening, because people are alert, okay, and they're not going to do it because they just heard me say this. But by Wednesday, they'll forget, okay? So have you ever gone up to somebody and start telling them that you haven't felt well? Let me just teach you about human nature. 99 times out of 100, if you go up to somebody and, you know, I've been fighting this cough and this, you know, congestion thing, and I'll start to tell somebody about it. I'll get about halfway through one sentence about it, and they'll go immediately into the things that they're battling and the things they're dealing with. And yes, I had that, and, you know, this person has it. And next thing you know, watch this. I went there to give them some of my cares, and then they're throwing all their cares on me, and now I'm in worse shape than if I... Listen, God says, listen, it's good to have a friend. It's good every once in a while to talk to somebody. It's good to have somebody that you can go to and you know they'll pray for you. And there are those types of people. But the honest truth is God's not command is not for you to cast your cares on other people. He said, hey, listen, they're trying to carry their own stuff and they can't hardly make it. Guess what? I can carry everybody's cares at the same time. And it doesn't diminish my power at all as Almighty God. God can handle it. God can handle it. And so by Wednesday, you try that and see what happens when you try to start sharing something with somebody else. Well, watch, God can carry it. God can handle it. In exchange for your cares, he will supply you the grace that you need. Let me take your cares, and I'm going to not just take your cares, I'm going to give you grace. I'm going to give you the grace to handle it. I'm going to give you the grace to continue on. I'm going to give you the grace to live successfully. I'm going to give you the grace. I'm not just taking something from. Listen, I wish I could do that, but Jerry Ross can't do that. If you come to me, I promise you, bear you one of those burdens, so fulfill the law of Christ. If you have something, I'll pray with you about it. I'll carry that a little bit. But I'm going to tell you something. I can't do what God does. Nobody can. Wives, I'm sorry, your husband can't. Husband, your wives can't. Kids, your parents can't. Not like God. I'm glad we're there for each other. We need to be. But only God can say, I can carry that and give you the grace to live with these circumstances that are very real and still walk around on the victory side. Man, that's exciting. Casting our cares produces an inward delight. You know why? Because we understand we've really found somebody that cares for us. That little last phrase there, for he careth for you. Preacher, why take it to God and not somebody else? Because he careth for you. And he can care for you in a way nobody else can care for you. You know, that produces an inward delight. Casting cares requires you to come to him. Casting cares reminds you that he's there for you. He cares for you. One of my favorite hymns in the hymn book is this: does Jesus care? I think we've all come to that point where we ask the question, does Jesus care? Does God even care? Here's the song. Does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for mirth or song? As the burdens press and the cares distress and the way grows weary and long. Here's some real questions. Come on. Does Jesus care when my way is dark with a nameless dread and fear? As daylight fades into deep night shades, does he care enough to be near? Does Jesus care when I'm tried and failed to resist some temptation strong? When for my deep grief there is no relief, though my tears flow all the night long, does Jesus care when I've said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me, and my sad heart aches till it nearly breaks? Is it aught to him? Does he see? And you know what all of those verses do? They write out the list. They're writing out the list. They're writing out the list. They're writing out the list. And finally, the songwriter writes the chorus. Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary and the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. Casting cares reminds us that he cares for you. Casting cares releases them to the one who can take care of them, who can cure them, who has the answer. Who do you think can do a better job of solving the unsolvable, of fixing the unfixable, of doing the impossible? That's not on my resume, but that's on his resume. And so, folks, I want you to take these wonderful, wonderful months. You know what? November's a wonderful month, and December's a wonderful month. And let's live it on the victory side. Preacher, I've been trying to work the formula. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. But, preacher, it just seems like during the middle of some of those days, here comes those thorns. Well, let's get an answer here. Let's get some help here. Every morning, I want you to take that list that you've written, and I want you to say, God, before I walk out, I'm giving this to you today. And here's another one. Lord, I'm sorry. I can't be what I need to be, and I can't do what I need to do, worried about this. So here, I'll give you this one too. And by the way, Lord, here's another one. And Lord, is this too much? Are you kidding me? He said, bring it on, bring it on. Give me all of them. Give me all of them. And in exchange, as we hand him our cares and we cast those cares upward, you know what comes flowing down to replace them is the grace of Almighty God. Come on, watch this. To get up off your knees, to square your shoulders, to put a song on your lips and in your heart, to put a smile on your face, to walk out the door saying, you know what, I now can do the will of God for this day, and I can fulfill the wishes of God, and I can begin to bear fruit in my life, and I can begin to make a difference in this world. You know why? Because I'm not going to let those thorn bushes choke out my ability to be what God wants me to be. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, that you're there. And Lord, everybody's got cares, and we carry them. And Lord, sometimes, dear God, we allow them to become those thorns in our life. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that you would help us to just squeeze this short, simple verse. Squeeze it for all it's worth. And help us to be reminded there's somebody that cares, and there's somebody that can do something about it, and there's somebody that can give us the grace we need to live out our day, even though we have the cares of this world. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that if there's somebody here that does not know Jesus as their personal Savior, Lord, if they do not have a Heavenly Father, because they're not saved, they can't look at you and say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. They've never received you as their Jesus as their Savior, and they've never got this matter of their sins taken care of. Lord, I pray today, Lord, that you would urge them to salvation, that they would receive you with all of their heart today. Oh, then all of a sudden we have a wonderful God, a wonderful God, a wonderful Savior, that friend that sticks closer than a brother, the one that walks beside us, the one that helps us. Lord, I pray that you'd use this invitation.